Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Protean eGov Technologies Limited Q4 FY 2026 earnings conference call hosted by Go India Advisors LLP. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Pushpa Mani, Head IR of Protean eGov Technologies Limited. Thank you, and over to you.
Thanks. Good evening, everyone. I welcome you all to the quarter three and FY 2026 results discussion. You must have received the results, press release, and investor presentation of the company, which is available on BSE and NSE, and as well as on the company's website. As usual, we will start the forum with the opening remarks by our CEO and CFO, and then we will open the floor for the question and answer session. If any of your questions remain unanswered, you may reach out to us afterwards. The management on today's call would be represented by Mr. V. Easwaran, Whole-time Director and CEO, Mr. Rakesh Dosi, Chief Business and Products Officer, Mr. Sandeep Mantri, CFO, and myself, Pushpa Mani, Head Investor Relations. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature, and we believe that the expectations contained in these statements are reasonable. However, these statements involve a number of risks and uncertainties that may lead to different results. With this, I invite our MD, Mr. V. Easwaran, to address you all. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Pushpa, and good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us today for Protean eGov Technologies earnings call for the fourth quarter and the full year ended 31st March 2026. India's digital economy continues to witness strong momentum driven by rapid formalization, rising internet penetration, increasing financial inclusion, and continued expansion of digital public infrastructure across sectors. Over the last few years, India has emerged as a global leader in population-scale digital systems with platforms such as UPI, Aadhaar, and pension, transforming the delivery of financial and citizen services at unprecedented scale. Simultaneously, increasing adoption of digital identity, pension inclusion, and open digital ecosystems across sectors such as insurance, healthcare, and agriculture continue to create large long-term opportunities for technology-led infrastructure providers like Protean. Against this backdrop, FY 2026 has been a landmark year for Protean as we continue to strengthen our position as one of India's leading digital public infrastructure companies. Our performance during the year reflects the strength of our core businesses, continued market leadership across critical population-scale ecosystems, and our ability to participate meaningfully in India's rapidly expanding digital economy. Coming to our financial performance, FY 2026 was a milestone year for Protean as we delivered our highest ever consolidated revenue from operations of rupees 998 crore, reflecting a strong 18.7% year-on-year growth. EBITDA grew strongly by 27% to 188 crore, with EBITDA margins improving to 17.6%. Adjusted profit after tax stood at rupees 105 crore despite continued investments in new growth initiatives. These results demonstrate the resilience of our diversified business model and the increasing relevance of digital infrastructure-led services in India's formalization journey. Turning to our core businesses. Our tax services business continued to deliver strong performance during the year, with revenue growing 17.5% year-on-year to rupees 498 crore. We continue to maintain our leadership in this segment with a 59% market share, issuing more than 4.7 crore PAN cards during FY 2026. With increasing digitization and formalization of the economy, PAN remains a foundational enabler for financial inclusion compliance, and access to formal financial services. Protean continues to play a pivotal role in this ecosystem by powering secure, scalable, and population-scale tax identity infrastructure for millions of citizens across the country. Our CRA service business continues to show resilient growth, with FY26 revenue growing by 7.5% to rupees 304 crores. The broader pension ecosystem in India is witnessing rapid expansion led by regulatory reforms, increasing awareness, and rising financial inclusion. There is an encouraging 13% growth in subscribers added during the year, with more than 1.5 crore new CRA subscribers, capturing 96% of incremental subscriber additions during the year. We also onboarded more than 3,000 corporates during FY26, which is the highest ever annual addition for the company. These numbers reinforce the scale, trust, and operating strength of our platform. During the year, PFRDA introduced several progressive reforms aimed at improving pension inclusion and accessibility. Initiatives such as NPS Sanchay are expected to significantly improve participation from India's informal sector, which constitutes nearly 90% of total workforce. Simplified onboarding, increased flexibility in withdrawals and investment, and broader accessibility are expected to accelerate long-term pension adoption across the country. Coming to identity services segment, revenue for FY26 stood at 92 crores. We continue to see volume growth across most foundational ID products, and we remain optimistic on the long-term opportunity driven by Digital India initiatives, rising digital authentication requirements. Our focus continues to remain on value-added solutions like eSign Pro, Rise with Protean, and KYC search and reporting solutions. Our new businesses continued to gain traction during FY26, with revenue from the segment increasing nearly 3 times year-on-year to rupees 103 crores. The company continued to strengthen its presence across emerging digital public infrastructure opportunities with strategic RFP projects like CERSAI, CKYC, CRR 2.0 and Bima Sugam. Further, UIDAI's Aadhaar Seva Kendra mandate is progressing well, and successful rollout of 44 Aadhaar Seva Kendras across 20 states and union territories. Revenue generation from these centers has commenced with early performance in line with expectations. From a financial standpoint, our balance sheet remains extremely strong with healthy cash reserves and zero debt, giving us the flexibility to continue investing in innovation, platform expansion, and new growth opportunities. As we move into FY27, our strategic priorities remain clear. Deepening leadership in core DPI ecosystems, expanding pension and social security participation, scaling enterprise and platform-led services, driving operating leverage while continuing strategic investments, and taking India's tech global. As we enter the next phase of growth, I am also delighted to inform that Mr. Ajay Rajan will join us as the Managing Director and CEO of Protean with effect from 1st June 2026. With his extensive experience across banking, digital transformation, and working with fintech ecosystem, we believe Protean is well positioned to further strengthen its leadership in India's evolving digital economy. As we conclude FY26, we remain optimistic about the business opportunity ahead for the company, backed by strong fundamentals, deep domain expertise, and a growing portfolio of transformative initiatives. I would like to sincerely thank our team for their dedication and our investors for their continued trust and support. Thank you, and with that, I would now like to hand over to our CFO, Mr. Sandeep Mantri, to discuss the financials. Thank you.
Thank you, Ishwaran. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. As artificial intelligence increasingly reshapes the global technology landscape, the role of digital public infrastructure platform is expected to evolve from being transaction processing systems to becoming more intelligent, interoperable, and predictive digital ecosystem. AI-led automation, analytics, and decision intelligence are expected to significantly enhance citizen service delivery. Fraud detection, personalization, and operational efficiency across large-scale public platform. This evolution aligns strongly with Protean's long-term strategic positioning as a trusted digital public infrastructure company managing population-scale platform across taxation, pension, identity, and other citizen services. With this, now let me take you to the financial performance for the fourth quarter and full year ended 31st March 2026. So first I'll talk about quarter and then I'll go to the yearly numbers. So this quarter we have closed revenue at 308 crores, which is a growth of 38% YOY as compared to 222 crores in same quarter last year. This was primarily driven by healthy performance across our core businesses along with increasing momentum in new and emerging business segment. Revenue for this quarter also include 44 crore on account of storage charges. EBITDA, if you talk about EBITDA, EBITDA for the quarter stood at 53 crore, reflecting a robust growth of 55% YOY, supported by improved operating leverage and higher operational efficiencies. Consequently, EBITDA margin expanded by 208 basis points to 16.5% in this quarter from 14.4% in the corresponding quarter of last year. Adjusted, we talk about adjusted profit after tax. The adjusted profit after tax for the quarter stood at 31 crore, marking a growth of 53% YOY with PAT margin of 9.6%. The adjusted PAT include a one-time statutory impact of 75 lakhs for the quarter relating to implementation of new labor code. Coming to the annual performance, FY26 performance, this year has been a strong year for Protean from both a growth and profitability standpoint. As rightly said by Ishwaran, during the year, the company delivered consolidated revenue from operation of 998 crore, which is the highest in the history of the company, registering a healthy growth of 19% YOY. EBITDA for FY26 stood at 188 crore as against 149 crore in FY25, which reflect a robust growth of 27% on a YOY basis. Also, EBITDA margin expanded by 125 basis points to 17.6%, driven by improved operational leverage. Adjusted profit after tax for FY26 stood at 105 crore, despite continued investment toward technology capabilities, execution readiness for large-scale mandates, and expansion of our digital public infrastructure platforms. PAT margin remained healthy at 9.8% during the year. From a cost perspective, we continue to maintain a disciplined approach while simultaneously investing for future growth and sustainability. Employee benefit expenses, which is part of cost, increased during the year primarily on account of capability building, strategic hiring, and strengthening execution team for large-scale project. Other expenses also saw calibrated increases linked to infrastructure expansion, technology investment, and project execution. We delivered an earning per share of 24.8 for FY26, up 8.6% on a YOY basis, and the board have recommended a final dividend of 100%, which means 10 per share and approximately 40% payout on a PAT, reflecting our commitment to sharing profits, sharing wealth and profit with shareholders. Key project win we talked about earlier also include Bima Sugam and Aadhaar Seva Kendra mandate from UI and a strategic mandate to build an AI-powered digital agriculture platform for Ethiopia. The total outstanding order book as on date stood at more than 1,500 crores. During the year, we acquired 4.95% strategic stake in NSDL Payment Bank, with an investment of 30.2 crore. This gives us an opportunity to collaborate closely with them in co-creating replicable certified digital banking technology which can further be deployed across BFSI industry. Our business model continues to remain asset light and cash generative. During FY26, the company continued to generate healthy operating cash flow supported by stable collection and working capital management. From a balance sheet standpoint, we remain in a strong financial position. As on March 31, 2026, the company had cash equivalent and marketable security of more than 850 crores and continued to remain completely debt-free. This provides us significant flexibility to pursue growth opportunity, invest in technology and innovation, and maintain long-term financial resilience. As we move into FY27, while we remain cautious with the ongoing war situation affecting economies and supply chain across the world, our focus largely will remain on improving operating leverage, scaling product-led and RFP businesses. With a strong balance sheet, robust cash position, improving business mix, and a good order pipeline, we believe that the company remains well-positioned for a long-term sustainable growth. With that, I conclude my remarks and request the moderator to open the floor for questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take a first question from the line of Rohan from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So this 44 crores that you've received on storage charges, want to recheck, this is the same for which we have provided earlier, or is there some other thing for which we have received this storage charges?
This is not the one which we have provided earlier. Whatever we have provided earlier is already collected. And last year only, we did some reversal of, receivable provisioning. So this is a new income, which is toward storage charges as per, contract with income tax department.
So this run rate will continue on an annual basis, 44 crores?
No, this is for few years. This will not be the run rate for, next year. Next year will be a bit lower than this. This is like for 2.5-3 years.
Sure. Sir, second, for the full year, we have done roughly 110 to 112 crores of EBITDA if we exclude other income. So if you can help me split that EBITDA between, say, the tax services business, the CRA business, and identity services.
So, Rohan, you are aware that we only declare one segment, and, because of these reasons, I would not be able to, provide you EBITDA business-wise. But having said that, you can definitely, touch base with our investor relation team, and they can guide you, how we model these numbers.
Sure. And on the employee base, like with the Aadhaar Seva Kendra going live and maybe more Seva Kendra that you'll add, how should one think on the employee cost for FY27?
So employee cost for 27 will increase because we'll have to deploy, our employees in 190 sector across the country. So there will be about, for each center there is a minimum contractual requirement depending on the type of sector. So the employee cost will definitely, is definitely going to increase. But having said that, this is part of, project revenue and project cost. So you have to, when you are modeling your business model for this business, you have to model, in a way that it gives you, basically these are direct costs for running the operations.
Right. But ballpark, like what kind of an increase can we expect on the employee cost? Around 65 to 70 crores of an incremental cost once all the centers go live, would that be a fair assumption?
Yeah, I would, it would be difficult to give numbers on this, But what I can say is, you know, we will add about 2,000 odd employees for these Aadhaar center, and these are mostly, you know, entry-level jobs or, you know, those kind of people. So you can, you know, roughly calculate those numbers.
Sure, sure. I just wanted an update on PAN 2.0, like how are we positioned there in terms of our role, and any further clarity on the impact?
So I think PAN 2.0, we stand where we were earlier, you know. I mean, there is no change as such. Our stance remains very clear. Whatever we said in future, past remains, you know, for, you know, true for future as well. And we are, you know, working with the department, how will, you know, distribution, we believe that distribution will remain, and therefore how will distribution prevail in next 1.5 years, we'll need to see. I think we have an update beyond that. Sandeep, you may want to add that.
We believe that fit model for our kind of demographics and geography stand a very good chance to keep continuing. This is what during last quarter also the assessment that we had, and we continue to believe the same.
Sure. So PAN 2.0 is yet to go live from IT department's perspective, right?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Okay, got it. And then lastly, you're saying something.
Yeah, sorry.
So lastly, on the support and maintenance.
It is not live cost, and.
No, sorry, sir. You were adding something. You may please continue.
No, I just responded to your question.
Sure. And sir, support and maintenance cost of 160 odd crores. Like, which businesses are driving most part of this?
Which one you are talking about?
Support and maintenance cost, 160 crores.
System and maintenance cost, you mean?
System and maintenance. Yes.
So these costs are primarily, the implementations are basically for project-led businesses, and the system maintenance and support is for all the businesses, which is, you know, historically remains in some level. Right? So any addition is primarily because of the project-led businesses, which is Tarsai, Vimasukam, some of those projects.
Sure, sir. Sure. Thanks a lot.
You know,
thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Bajrang Bafna from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Congratulations for a strong set of numbers. So, sir, my first question pertains to rollout of this Aadhaar Seva Kendra. What percentage we have completed by the end of Q4 FY26, and how do we see the rollout in FY27? Both in terms of percentage completion and the full revenue rollout wise, what revenue that we booked in Q4 FY26, and how do we see, you know, this rollout in FY27 also? That will be my first question, sir.
Okay, thank you so much. Okay, let me tell you, Aadhaar Seva Kendra is as per the RFP terms, it divided into a few phases, a phase 1, phase 2, and a phase 3. So total is 189 odd Aadhaar Kendras. Yeah, 190. It's 190 Aadhaar Seva Kendras. 34 was supposed to be opened in the phase 1 and further in various phases. And currently, as of now, 44 Aadhaar Seva Kendras are operational, which is around 23% of the total. Like, out of 190, 44 are operational. And we have started seeing the revenue streams in FY26.
We are not disclosing the revenue for a particular project, but having said that, we have already started monetizing these 34 other Seva Kendras, which were, you know, live before March 31st. As of today, we have about 44. Our plan is to go live with all 189 Aadhaar Seva Kendras by September or by October next.
By September, October of the FY27, right? 26
yeah.
Only.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and sir, once the full rollout happens.
So that's what I'm saying. Full scale revenue you will see sometime after 3 or 4 months from, maybe in February, March.
Okay, so maybe third quarter will be the first quarter where full, after full rollout, we will see the full revenue potential.
You will see revenue for the old Aadhaar centers coming in, and fourth quarter we should see, you know, more revenues coming.
Okay, and sir, what will be, you know, because roughly with this 5-year contracts, that number year-wise works out to close to 200 crore. So that will be the right assumption to assume once the all rollout happens, the full rollout happens?
Yeah, this is what, you know, as per bid estimate, while we have to see how, you know, the volumes drives in these sectors.
Okay, okay, got it. And sir, any guidance? And any guidance on the working capital cycle which will be involved in this?
No, this is like a managed service project, so there will not be any, you know, working capital gap in this project. Means 30 or 60 days you get your money.
Okay, got it. And sir, this, can we get some odd, once the full rollout happens, close to 20% sort of operating margin? Would that be a right assumption?
I would not be able to disclose, Bajrang, the margin for each project, because we are governed under confidentiality clauses with the government contract, and I would not, you know,
not an issue. So, sir, yeah, broadly, if we see the margin trajectory going forward, will that be, you know, like last year we have done close to, let's say, 12-odd% excluding other income. So how do you see that margin playing out in 27 and 28? So on a ballpark basis, you know, because this year our revenues are definitely going to be high because of this Aadhaar and other RFPs.
I would not give a 1 year or a 1 quarter or 2 quarter perspective, but having said that, we said in last quarter earning call also, and, you know, prior to that also, that our aim or our, you know, initiative is to improve our margin with each passing year. You know, a lot of things place in, you know, margin expansion. Of course, our whole endeavor is to automate more and more, use technology, deploy technology in every, you know, area of activities or operations we are, and, you know, therefore earn high and high margin with each passing, you know, quarter. But guidance would be, you know, guidance on margins remains the same like what we said in last few quarters. We are, you know, and we endeavor to improve our margins by significant in next 2-3 years.
Got it. And sir, on Bima Sugam, how do you see traction? Because now IRDA is also talking about a lot. So how do you see the traction on the ground and building other revenue streams in that region? What is your sense, you know, how this is, as per your expectation, you know, the rollout or the success? If you could guide something on that, will be really helpful.
Rakesh would answer.
The Bima Sugam project, with the guidance from the regulator and also the Bima Sugam team, looks to be very positive. It is now being built to cater to some very interesting areas on the insurance, especially on the health side and the motor side, the way it is going to come out. It's also expected to increase the insurance penetration within the country. That's one of the key mandates, and make it affordable. Therefore, we believe that beyond the project also, there are some adjacencies that in due course would open up, which we are exploring.
Okay. So far your, you know, your this basically expense versus the delivery. So I'm just trying to sense gauge that count in terms of acceptance in the market, or, you know, the footfalls that are coming on that. So something, if you could cite on that count, you know, will be really appreciated.
It's a Bima Sugam platform is a work in progress. Also, given, like I said, the guidances that are coming from Bima Sugam team, from the entire industry perspective, it's a build-up right now. That platform is in the WIP stage.
Okay. And when we would see the full rollout of this?
Sorry to interrupt. I request you to join back the queue, please, as we have participants waiting for their turn.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Heath Shah from Dalal & Broacha. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. I put a couple of questions. Firstly, sir, processing charges, if you look at as a percentage of the revenue, it comes at 35% for this particular year. Past quarter, it has gone to 32 as well, 36 as well. So, I mean, what percentage can we assume it to be a sustainable number? Because it has drastically come down in the last 1 year. Secondly, my second question is, so how much of the revenues from Bima Sugam Sarsai and Ask have you booked in this particular year? And what can one estimate for FY27? And secondly, sir, how much of the revenue has come from, you know, organically PAN card issuances? I mean, ex of your one-time the PAN card rules, which has come from 1st of April, where the PAN card and the Aadhaar card name has to be the same. So ex of that, what organic growth has come? So yeah, these are my questions.
Okay, so Meet, first question was on processing charges. How do we see processing charges from here? This quarter it was 35.1%. This year it was 35% mota mota, and 40% was last year. So
yeah.
I guess processing charges will over in these ranges only, between 35 to 38%. It depends on what kind of, you know, transactions we are doing. If it is online transaction, your processing charges goes down. If it is assisted online, it, you know, goes up further, goes up from, you know, online. And if it is completely physical, then it, processing charges are heavy. But we have seen the trend that assisted online is the one which is, you know, more prevalent, and therefore the processing charges you should assume in the same range, which is 35-38, you know, 35 to 38%, right?
Okay,
your second question, hope that answer your question, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Your second question was on revenue from project services, right? Which is Bima Sugam or Sarsai or, you know, other projects. You are aware that we are not giving project-wise revenues, you know, for the project, turnkey project which we are executing. Having said that, you may connect with our investor relations and get some ideas about how these revenues are being booked and accordingly model some of these, you know, numbers. Your third question was on how, what is the organic kind of business in PAN card, which is, you know, aside of Aadhaar PAN linkage. I don't think we have these numbers. What number we have is that the total PAN card issues, but how much of it is, you know, because of Aadhaar PAN linkage, we would not know. We would not know, because then those kind of analytics are not available. So it is, you know, simply we get application, we process application, and the PAN cards or PAN numbers are allotted by department. So this, according to us, this whole thing is organic. There is nothing which is inorganic in this. So hope this answers all your questions, right? These were the three questions.
Yeah, yeah. Just to come up on the PAN card thing. So, I mean, Q4 run rate wouldn't be the one that I can assume it for Q1 FY27, correct? Because that Aadhaar card PAN card linkage was.
No, I don't think we will be able to assume on this Aadhaar PAN linkage, how much is because of Aadhaar PAN linkage and how much is because of Aadhaar PAN linkage is one of the event which, you know, triggers the PAN card issuance in the country, but I don't think we will be able to assume what number we can allocate, you know, to each of these activities. There are many, you know, trigger which happens on and, you know, every time. What we will get is the total number of PAN card issuance in the country.
Got it, fine. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Amit Mehendare from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is on Bima Sugam, that when do we expect the platform to go live, and on, you know, whenever we go live, do we expect some like significant revenue in that quarter because of a milestone getting hit?
The mandate on which the Bima Sugam team is working is they have the platform going live and also the products going live. So like I said, the health and the motor, these are two significant product lines on the insurance that they have been mandated to do that. The mandate from a regulator for that to happen is within the next 3 to 4 months. That needs to be done or prior to that. So this is also in the domain of how Bima Sugam would want to kind of communicate it back to the regulator and to the market. So this is all that we could possibly share on this call.
And your you know, second part of the question was on the revenue, right? So these are turnkey project. While milestone is for billing, but the revenues are accounted based on, you know, estimated effort to margin basis. So revenue will get recognized whenever we are, you know, putting effort into this project basis. What will it take to, you know, completely go live in the project? So therefore, we, you know, just estimate the effort and cost, and we apply a markup to recognize revenue every quarter. Having said that, milestone is only a billing thing.
Right, sir. And on this project, there will be also some recurring revenue, right, for in terms of maintenance, etc., going forward, once the go-live is done?
Yeah, once the go-live happens, there will be a recurring revenue, for, because these are like 5, 6, or 7 year project, whether it is Tarsai or Bima Sugam or other project. So first 2 years normally are the, you know, implementation year, and then next 3, 4, 5 years are basically maintaining or, you know, providing support to run this project.
Right, sir. Thanks. And my last question is on the cash. You know, we have significant amount of cash in balance sheet. How do we plan to utilize or deploy the cash?
So one, as you have, you know, heard that we will pay, you know, 100% dividend on our share capital, which is about 44 crore. Then we will need money for working capital, and at the same time we will need, you know, we will need to invest in platforms, you know, to be future ready and sustainable. As this is what I talked about in my speech as well. So these are the 3 or 4 areas where we will need money, and we will spend money to grow the, you know, business in future.
Right, sir. Thanks. That's it from my end. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Shyam Chandani, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. First of all, congratulations for the wonderful result. I have just one couple of questions. First being, how do you see your international business going on? If you can just throw some light on what are the quick wins in terms of RFP to up 2-3 bids.
Yeah. International business, as we have already declared in our speech by the CFO, there are certain wins which have already got on the agri business in Ethiopia, and the revenues will start flowing in. And other parts are all going on. There are a lot of engagements happening in various places across Africa currently, where we are looking at similar kind of digital public infrastructure kind of deals where we can get into. So these are all in various stages of discussions, and as and when it materializes, we'll definitely come out and inform you. Having said given the current geopolitical situation happening around the Middle East and some part of the world, there has been a slight slowdown which we have seen in this month, but we hope that this will start picking up and we start getting more traction there.
But how do you see your revenue growth coming from these businesses particularly? Any idea on future prospect, what do you think?
We are very optimistic about our international businesses for sure, but word of caution, because right now the decision making in some of these countries is slow because of the war situation or supply chain situation is going on. But we are very optimistic about one of our strategies to get this India stake to, you know, global. That is our strategy, and we will continue to work toward that. And we think that international business will be one of the significant, you know, contributor to our revenue in time to come. May not be in
any idea, sir. What's
Shyam, I request you to join back the queue, please, as we have participants waiting for their turn. Thank you. Next question is from the line of Darshil Zaveri from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening, sir. Thank you so much for taking my question, sir. Firstly, congratulations on a great set of results, sir. Sir, I just wanted to ask regarding the storage charges that we had in Q4. I joined the call a bit late, so sorry if it's a repeated question. So this is, I think I heard that this is an annual charge, and it's a multi-year charge, but we've taken the revenue in Q4 only. So can you just explain, like, is this something that we can expect year-on-year to come at this rate, or how would it be, sir?
So this is like, because this has to be accepted by Income Tax Department, then only we book these revenues. Otherwise, you know, there is always a question of collectibility. So when Income Tax Department accept these storage charges, depending on, you know, whatever data or whatever document that we'll need for all these storage document, basis that we recognize our revenue. Having said that, I think we will have yearly revenues coming out of these storage, you know, for next few years.
So, sir, in terms of nature of this service, so this is something that we are charging on past services, or is this something that, you know, in the future? Because from what I understand.
We are charging on storing the document on, you know, for those income tax processing document, which we are storing. For that, we are charging these transaction fees.
So it is, so that's what, so this 44 crore is for which, for document storage is done in from, you know, the last full year, right? So a similar quantum can be expected every year, right? Well, thoda plus minus, but whatever is in terms of this.
Not similar, not similar. I would not say similar, because this 44 crore is for two or three years. As I said, because of collectibility, we recognize revenue only on the basis of, you know.
Okay, okay. So it's something for past two or three years. Okay, got it, sir.
Yeah.
Sir, just regards to our, you know, Aadhaar Seva Kendra setup. So just wanted to understand, I think we expect by Q4 to, you know, completely have all the centers running, but the cost, like the employee cost, infra, some cost, we'll start, you know, having it before only, right? So this will dampen our margins a bit going forward. Like, is that a fair assumption? Not, I'm saying for the full, maybe not going in the long term, but for this year, because we'll have to start building up the full capabilities, right, and hiring people. So will that affect the margins in the meantime? Because the revenues will not flow when the cost will start.
Yeah, this will be a timing mismatch, I would say, wherein we.
Yeah.
We'll be in building phase as well, and, you know, we'll be in revenue phase for some centers. So there will be definitely a timing mismatch. To that extent, the margin will be affected.
Okay. So, could we, matlab, so in the first two, three years, can we expect, for the first two, three quarters of this year financially, we can expect some kind of a margin dip compared to our, you know, FY 2026 numbers, sir?
So I would not, you know, be able to comment on this right now, because we are yet to test water for many of these centers, and maybe in next one or two quarters, we would be able to comment what kind of volume, you know, we will take. Sometime it happens that from day one, you have, you know, queues standing outside the Aadhaar Seva Kendra. Sometime it may take, you know, months or so. So depends. I mean, it will be very difficult for me to give any numbers right now to, you know, what will be this, how long this timing mismatch will be, whether it will be 1 month, 2 months, 1 year, 1 day, or longer, shorter, I don't know.
Okay, okay, fair enough. That's it from my side, sir. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Parimal Mithani from Credential Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, sir. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
It is not clear. Can you use your handset mode, please, Parimal?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, sir, this is regarding recently regarding your CRA business. Hello?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the PFRDA has revised charges for the in terms of certain accounts. Can you maintain the AMC.
Yeah.
Charges and all that? And does it benefit us, or how does it go through? And also, the second question is in terms of the data stack, how has been the growth been? Because since last 2 years, we have launched all this. If you can answer the two questions first.
So, CRA, you want to answer this question? Or I can. So, CRA, the charges were revised in last quarter. The whole intent of PFRDA is to, you know, really grow this pension ecosystem in the country. They want to, you know, grow from this level to a very significant level, you know, in next 3 to 5 years. And therefore, the charges were aligned with best practices in industry. There are, you know, two or three kind of charges. One is AUM linked for all the private corporate sector. Then for government, there is a fixed fee. And for APY also, there is a fixed fee. Right? So these were the three kind of charge structure which are prevailing in CRA. Having said that, in long run, I think this will help the industry because this will help the company also because this AMC-based charges system will really help in, you know, once the AMC will always grow and therefore, you know, the revenues also will grow to that extent. And,
so how,
you know, PFRD has a clear, you know, basically clear mention that they want to grow NPS or pension ecosystem in the country. This is a clear mandate.
So how does it help in terms of our margins, sir, going forward? Because I think it's more of a dynamic pricing that has come into this entire more additions. It has the CRAs also.
So yeah, I think in long term, you know, it is in short run, we see some dip in margins. But in long run, I think it will help industry and company because the charges become dynamic with, you know, your AMC growing, your subscriber base growing, you will get more and more revenues, right? So in 1 or 2 quarters, you will see, you know, revenue or charge, you know, margin start picking up significantly from here for the private sector.
Okay, so it will be margin accretive to us. Is it safe to assume compared to what you're getting in the past two, 3 years?
In short run, no. In long run, yes.
Okay, okay. And about your data stack business, if you can... Yes.
Data stack, Rakesh, would you want to talk about?
Yes, so... The outlook on the data stack looks to be very positive. On the eSign Pro product, we're seeing now very good traction in funnel. And also the platforms on the RISE and KYC reporting solutions. So that we are seeing a very healthy traction and from multiple organizations and multiple segments. So that looks to be a very positive area for us.
So can quantify the growth will be much better because, you know, I understand if the growth is good, but can you quantify how it has been since the time of this launch?
So when we are talking about data stack, sorry, what's your name? I'm so sorry.
Parimal Bithani.
Parimal. So when we're talking about data stack, we see a very good traction in terms of number of customer, number of transactions, like, you know, transactions in RISE with Proteans are, you know, growing significantly. Transactions in eScience have started and, you know, are growing with each quarter, with each passing, you know, day. So, you know, at least in next 2-3 quarters, we see, you know, a very good amount of revenue should come from these data products, which is either eScience Pro or, you know, RISE with Protean or, you know, Protean X or some of those, you know, new age initiatives.
Okay, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Pratap Maliwal from Mount Intra Finance. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. I just have one clarification regarding the Bima Sugam project that we had won. I believe it was a 100 crore kind of a project over 72 months. So I just wanted to understand, how the revenue recognition works. Have we already recognized some revenues from it, or maybe it's going to come in going ahead? I mean, I believe you pointed out that 2 years of implementation and then support. So could you just help me understand whether these revenues are yet to come in, or it's an existing revenue stream?
No, so some, you know, minimal revenues, I mean, insignificant revenues are accounted for in this project, but that is not significant one. I think the implementation revenue will start from this year. Maybe in this year we will see a significant amount of revenue coming from implementation out of this project. And this once implementation is stopped, then the maintenance revenue, you know, fits in.
Okay, and the 100 crores is for implementation plus support the entire thing over 72 months. So that's correct?
The entire revenue. 100%, 100 crore is the entire revenue which is implementation for and support for, I think, 4 or 5 years, I guess.
Okay, understood. Yeah, thank you. That's my question. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Amit Mehendare from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Sir, my question is on the storage charges. You know, we have booked 44 crores and if it is assuming it is for 3 years, then, you know, the pro rata would be, say, 15 crores a year or so. My question is more on the cost. Like, suppose you have recognized 45 crores in this quarter, is there no associated cost? And, I mean, because the cost could have been booked in the earlier quarters, or was the cost deferred and then the cost has been matched for this quarter?
Like a back-to-back arrangement, we collect, we pay. So, you know, there will be a matching of revenue and cost. So in this quarter, if you see, our processing charges have increased because of one of the reason, primary reason is because of the cost on storage.
Okay, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rohan M. from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Sir, just wanted a clarification on the tax rate. Our tax rate is lower than 25%. So what is helping us there?
So, you know, tax rate is a consolidated tax rate wherein you have one Dubai entity, then another account aggregator, then there is one InfoSec, and then this Protean Ego, right? These are the four primary entities. So Dubai, if the tax, you know, tax rate is low, so it will definitely be advantageous for Protean, right, to have a lower, on an overall basis, have a lower tax rate. So while tax rate, you know, legal tax rate is 25.17, but eventually you have to come in consolidated books, you have to combine, you know, all these entities. So it will be, so if you see historically also, we were in 22-23% range. We continue to remain in that range because
right. But are we having any meaningful revenues on the Dubai entity right now?
Not meaningful, but even, you know, even insignificant amount of profit will change the tax rate.
Sure. Got it.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. Rohan, you're through with your questions, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Rohan.
Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone. We'll take our next question from the line of Shyam Chandani, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. So just wanted some more clarity on the other revenue business line items like Sarsai, Aadhaar, Seva, Prima. So you mentioned about you are very optimistic on international business, but what about other revenue line items? How do you see the revenue mix and the business growth across these revenue line items?
See, these other revenues, others are the new businesses which we are talking, right, every time.
Right.
And as we guided last many calls, our aim or ambition remains, aspiration remains that these revenues should constitute about 25% of our total revenue in 2 to 3 years, right? And this is what we are moving toward. If you see last year, our other revenue, I mean, the new segment revenue was 4% or 3%, I don't know, but it is now about 10%. So there is a significant increase in the contribution from the new businesses, which is what, you know, we are working toward, and we are, you know, moving in the right direction. It will come from international business, it will come from data estate, it will come from, you know, cloud offering, it will come from OD or, you know, the project businesses.
So this is from less than 3%, so grown 10% plus. This is 3x of growth that we had.
Yeah.
Understood. Just one more question, sir. So how typical your direct cost, which has been attributable to across businesses, any major revenue which includes your direct cost particularly?
So normally direct cost is in CRA, PAN, and
processing cost.
Yeah, processing cost, I'm saying. Processing cost will be in CRA, processing cost will be in PAN majorly.
Any percentage terms like, or is it?
Sorry?
how to allocate, I just wanted to understand how it has been allocated between these two businesses, CRA and pension business.
So I would not be able to guide you on that, but mostly these are platform businesses. So whether it is PAN or whether it is CRA, both are platform businesses. So both are having similar nature. In PAN, though, we have, you know, some physical cost, which is distribution, commission, or, you know, postage charges, or some of those elements, which, you know, drives this processing cost. In the CRA, we'll have lesser processing charges because there it is not like, you know, distribution or postage every time. It is only sometime in some cases where, you know, customer has not chosen the green option. We have to dispatch annual statement of account.
Understood. Helpful, sir. Just if time permits, my last question. As I can see, the employee cost is largely component related to the tech business, but given that PAN 2.0 version, do you see, like, I understand due to Aadhaar Seva Kendra business is coming in and your employee cost would increase, but any impact due to PAN 2.0 version, would it decrease due to that?
No, so right now I don't think we have any impact of PAN 2.0. As of today, I think it will continue, PAN business will continue. This is what we believe in. Assisted mode will continue. This is what we believe in. We'll have to wait and watch, you know, after 12, 15, 18 months, we need to see how distribution pans out in, you know, new PAN ecosystem. And then we will, you know, need to figure out. Right.
Understood.
Now, I don't see anything.
Got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Heath Shah from Dalal & Broacha. Please go ahead.
Yes, so just one data related question. I was looking at the PPT and in the CRA services we've mentioned the APY enrollments have crossed 9 crores in April 26. So, I mean, when I checked, I mean, when I went through the APY subscriber base from the website itself, it shows 7.5 crores. So am I missing something?
Yeah, hi Heath, Pushpa this side.
Yeah.
So some of the the enrollments that we are speaking about. So PFRD enrolls people under the APY scheme, but there are some accounts which becomes dormant or inactive. So when we take our count, what we show in our investor deck, it is minus the deletions.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Fine. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take that as the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Pushpa Mani for closing comments. Over to you.
Thanks everyone for all your support and joining us. If any queries would have left unanswered, please reach out to us. We'll be very happy to answer. Thank you so much.
Thank you. On behalf of Go India Advisors LLP, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.